Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, Father, we do thank you for this meeting, for your speaking up to today. Thank you, you want to continue to speak. Thank you for your great grace. Amen. Isn't this wonderful? We have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Already this is a wonderful fact. And we have to give thanks to the Father. Formerly we were under the power of darkness, but now we have been translated into this wonderful kingdom of love. Father, we do tell you, we give thanks to you. It's the kingdom of the Son of His love. Maybe briefly, little caveat. For those who do not know the Bible that well yet, well, the Bible speaks of God as the triune one, right? You find the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. On the one hand, they are three, but on the other hand, it's one, just one God. Yet still, you may discern the Father, Son, and Spirit. Here it says we say thanks to the Father, right? And He translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And in verse 8, it is the love of the saints in the Spirit. These three parts, isn't this wonderful? We give thanks to the Father who translated us into the kingdom of His Son. And there, the love of the Spirit is flowing from all the saints, right? Colossians, first of all, deals with Jesus Christ. Him we want to look at, to apprehend more. Every one of us, or maybe almost every one of us here, have had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Not the historical Jesus alone, having lived 2,000 years ago, approximately. But we have got to know Him in a personal way. That is all about. That we know Him more, personally, truly, as He is. When we come together here, that is the reason why we come together. First of all, to see Jesus. And we all need to have this desire. I want to apprehend more of this wonderful Jesus, right? The disciples already got to know Jesus, and that changed their lives. Formerly, they were fishermen or tax collector. Different professions, but when they got to know this Jesus, this completely changed their lives, right? The same with us. Maybe we still have the same job, but we changed doing it in the Lord. If you only do it because it's your duty, or because you like it, or do you do it in the Lord Jesus? That's how we want to know Jesus. The Lord called them and they followed Him for a while. And then three of His disciples, He took with Him up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they, as we saw, and they then got to know Jesus in a way they didn't know before. His garments were shining. And Moses and Elijah came and talked to Him. That was a great vision of the Lord Jesus. They never forgot this again. Not for sure. Peter later mentions this in his epistle, right? May the Lord appear to all of us more in such a way, lest to forget that there is a vision of Christ in our hearts, deeply impressing us, changing our lives. All is about seeing Him. I want to see Jesus. I want to know and apprehend Jesus. Paul's writing in his epistle to the Galatians that he formerly also was one of the Jews persecuting severely the churches. But then there was a point in his life where it pleased God, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, right? But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me. Wow, this revelation we all need in a deeper way. Well, God appears to us and to Paul one time, but He surely took other opportunities to appear Him more fully and during His life. We need prayer for that, that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation may open our eyes to see the Son more. At the end, he's writing in his epistle to Timothy, I know whom I believe. That is a strong, full knowledge in his understanding. Not only a vision far away, remote, but no, he knows in whom he believes. We shall also be like this. We shall say, I know in whom I believe, and I am fully confident my Lord is able. Wow, what a deep assurance shall be in all of us, right? If you have to go to hospital, if you have to put a breathing mask on, you can still say, I know in whom I believe. I'm fully confident He will preserve me and the possession, my good possession that was entrusted to me. He will be able to preserve. The Father is pleased in revealing the Son in us. It is the Son of love, right? It's the kingdom of the Son of His love, right? This implies Father and Son through an inner, deep relationship have with each other of love. That is quite clear in the Gospel of John, right? Where you can many times see the Son expressing His relationship with the Father. And He says, everything I have is coming from the Father. So this intimate relationship the Lord wants to give us today. When I was at university, I came to Stuttgart here. Many students were here many years ago. We didn't know each other, but two, three stuck together, came together. There was a little group. You were, as an outsider, not able to enter into that relationship. No. The Father is different. He wants us to partake of this relationship. It's nothing mysterious, secret. He calls us into this fellowship, right? Isn't this glorious? We want to have part in it, in this relationship. This as a pre-course. How precious it is to know them. But let me now more elaborate on these verses here. Who is this Lord? Who is this Jesus Christ here? In these few verses is contained a lot. Perhaps this morning I cannot dig out everything implied in it. It is impossible. You may supplement. But it is just as little excerpt I can present to you. And it seems in the scripture, Paul, like here, is speaking of the Lord, focusing on the Son of His love, and then he's bubbling over, obviously. He wants to relate to us what this wonderful Son is, how glorious this Christ is. This is an example here. Until verse 23, he is simply relating, telling how glorious Jesus is. That's his beginning, his first chapter. He is the image of the invisible God, verse 15. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, he is the image of God. It's not just like a photograph. It's more, it's the expression of the whole person. You can say, he who sees me sees the Father. And Hebrews 1 says, verse 3, he, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Similar word. This is behind here. He is the express image of the invisible God. No one can see God. But the Son, Jesus Christ, he, through him, he became visible. He was made known. You could touch him, hear him. Right? Jesus is the express image, the image of the glory of God. In order to understand these verses in Colossians, better read Hebrews 1 and John 1. These two chapters go together. Right? The Son is clearly described here, the Son of God. The brightness of his glory. And in the Gospel of John, he is described to be as being life and light of man. Right? That is Jesus. He is the Word, and in him is life. And the life was a light of man. Praise the Lord. Him we want to see. And see God's glory in him. And through looking at this wonderful Jesus, something happens with us. We not only look at him, and then we keep walking. Well, he who looks at Jesus will receive something into his heart. A kind of transformation will start within you. This will change your being. If you every day look at the Lord Jesus, you will not surely abide the same. Paul says this wonderfully. John 8:29. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, the Father, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He again is the word image, right? The Son is the image of the Father, and we shall be conformed to this image. This is wonderful. Amen.
Doch lasst uns weitergehen. Er ist das Ebenbild.
Let's go on. He is the image of the invisible God. He is also the firstborn of all creation. That is not easy to understand, is it? That's right. The firstborn of all creation. 15. It's not the first creature of all creation, but it says the firstborn of all creation. It doesn't say Christ was created. It doesn't say that. He was eternal before all creation. Before everything was, Christ existed. This vision many Christians do not have. I talked to, about this to a brother, and he looked at me unbelieving. Before everything, anything existed, he was there. Let me prove this to you. What is the basis? Hebrews 7, verse 3. The writer, the author, relates to Melchizedek, right? It says, without father, he being without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually or forever. That is the Son. You have to see this. The Lord does not have a beginning. He existed from eternity to eternity. You think he began to live when he was born of Mary? No, no. The Bible shows something different. He did not have a beginning. He is eternal. He existed from eternity to eternity. Lord. Hebrews 1:10 also shows more of this glory of the Lord Jesus. What is spoken here speaks of the Father, not the Son. Vice versa. Spoken of the Son, it's Hebrews 1:10. It speaks of the Son, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands, because all, Hebrews chapter 1, speaks of the Son. They will perish, you remain. They will all grow old like a garment. Our Lord remains. He is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. Everything is in Him. Praise the Lord. He is the firstborn of all creation. Everything, all things have been created in Him. The in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and unto Him, literally. Three prepositions here. Let's just take a look at it. The first, all things were created in Him, literally. Verse 16, in Him. The second is through Him, by Him. And the third is for Him or unto Him. That's the goal. Showing the goal. All this is changed. It was created in Him, through Him, and for Him, unto Him. This in Him, I had to think of it a long time. What does it mean? What does it mean? The best understanding to me is He is a prerequisite, the precondition for everything. If you want to build a house, you need premises, you need materials. Everything has been created in Christ. But also everything has been created through Christ. As it says in John 1, beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And everything has been created by the same. So this Word is the Lord Jesus. And through Him all things have been created. Lord, we want to behold You. In Him and through Him. And also for Him or unto Him. He is the one for whom everything has been created. By the Father, in the Son, through the Son, but for the Son. In Hebrews it says, the Son is the heir of all things. Jesus inheriting everything, the whole universe. All things subsist in Him. Because He is the precondition for everything. If you take Him away, everything collapses. The whole universe will not be able to exist anymore. Everything exists in Jesus. The scientists do not know how the universe subsisting can subsist. But the Bible shows through Christ. Through His person. What we can see, what is visible, but also the things invisible you cannot see. There also is mentioning of rulers, authorities, powers. They are mentioned in the Bible several times. And it's usually the powers of darkness. They have been created. But they have fallen and turned against God. They have been created, truly. And without the Creator, they cannot exist. Without whom created them? So when the Lord went to the cross, He took them all with Him. And He destroyed and terminated all of them. That is too great. Right? Lord Jesus. Everything has been created in Him. Even these authorities and powers. Don't be afraid of them. The Lord is much more powerful. He is much more higher. Even the powers and authorities cannot cause harm to you because we are protected by Him. If anything happens, you may resist them. Amen. This shows He is the eternal Son of God. But the Lord also became a man. And as a man, He had a beginning. He had a genealogy. As a Son of God, He did not have. But as a Son of Man, He had. That is glorious. That He is both. He was true man, but also a true God. Lord, we want to behold You. In Philippians chapter 2, there is a description of where Paul is describing this Christ and is whelming over, bubbling over. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, 6 to 8. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Says, being in the form of God, being equal with God, being equal with God, Jesus is God. But still, He made Himself of no reputation, emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That is our Lord. All the glory He had as the Son of God, He laid off aside, became a weak man. He needed sleep. He needed food. He suffered from the weather conditions. Everything we experience as well. He worked, he labored as a carpenter. right? All the needs, the problems you have as a carpenter, he experienced as well. In this way, he humbled himself, lowered himself. They despised him. They resisted him. They mocked him. And finally, nailed him to the cross. Lord Jesus. He is both, right? Let me again describe this glory that he is both at the same time, true God and true man. Paul emphasizes again and again, Romans 9 verse 5 as well. Yes. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. That is his origin, according to the flesh, of the nation of Israel, the genealogy listed. But who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. He is both. He is both. Micah 5 verse 2. Speaks of Bethlehem, where the one should come redeeming Israel. But it goes on. Out of you shall come forth one to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. He is both God and man. This wonderful man who lowered himself so much. He went through death and resurrection and became now a man in glory. We have this wonderful song, a man in the glory. His life is within us. His humanity in the beginning was only on the earth, was exposed to all the influences here. But through death and resurrection, his humanity was exalted, was glorified. He's a man in the glory. John 17, verse 5, also expresses this. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. The Son had the glory and laid it down, became a man. But then he went through death and resurrection, and the Father glorified his humanity. Now he's a glorified Son of Man, right? Praise the Lord. I hope you can follow me. But this is the difference. Formerly he was a man, but now he's a man in glory. He's seated at the right hand of the Father and wants to take us up into the same glory. Sit with him on the throne. Be glorified with Christ. You may ask yourself now, why did he put all this upon himself? I do not want to say too much of it on it, but maybe four little points. First of all, in order to destroy and to judge Satan. That has happened when he died, his death on the cross. That is Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. And as much then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Hallelujah. That is the devil. And deliverance, those. Why, release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Satan was destroyed here. He is only a creature. When Jesus died, the whole old creation, everything old was terminated. He took with him to the cross, also Satan included. He destroyed him who had the power of death. Praise the Lord. That's where you can stand upon. Satan's power has been taken away. If he wants to deceive you, read him. The power has been taken away from you already. The Son of God took it away. The Son of Man took it away of you. We are one with him. And the same in 1 Corinthians 15:45. Therefore, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being or soul. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So who is the last Adam? Who knows? I don't hear anything. Jesus! Jesus is the last Adam. With him, all the Adamic genealogy has been ended, terminated. Death and sin came into the world through his trespassing. But there is one last Adam who terminates all this. This is Jesus. He is the last Adam. And with this last Adam, Adam stopped. So all the old creation stopped. Praise the Lord. Satan has been terminated. The old creation has been terminated. But it's not only two negative things he did, but two positive things. That is 2 Corinthians 5:17. This concerns us, right? Let's enjoy these verses even more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus brought forth a new creation through death and resurrection. He is the firstborn of all creation and the firstborn of the dead. These two things. First, the firstborn of all creation as the Son of God, but also the firstborn from among the dead as the Son of Man. And by this he brought forth the new creation, and of it we partake. Everyone who received Jesus partakes of this new creation. And new creation is within you. When I was baptized, this verse was make me rejoice. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. New things have come into being. The Lord brought forth this through his death and resurrection. And with the new creation, the new man. Something very precious. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that is the old law, in order so as to create in himself one new man from the two, Jews and Greek, thus making peace. That's what the Lord did through his death and resurrection. One new man we partake of today. And we put on. The new man is here. And you can put him on. Before this, it wasn't possible. But he created him. You only have to take him. Lord Jesus. That is something you cannot do alone, but together put on the new man. Step by step, every day afresh. If you, in the morning, you think of, I put him on, Lord. Thank you, I put you on. Not only my pants, my shirt, my jacket, but I put on you, the living Christ, the one new man. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the firstborn from among the dead. He accomplished this by death and resurrection. Everything is included in this. He is the firstborn from among the dead. My Lord is the firstborn from among the dead. We will also go through this. Even if someone has to die, the Lord will resurrect us again. So go together with this, that he's the head of the body, the church, right? You can see this many portions, Revelation 1, 12 to 16. It's three portions in the Bible that pertain to Colossians somehow. Colossians 1, John 1, Hebrews 1, and Revelation 1, they all deal with the Son of God. Revelation 1, he reveals himself as the Son of Man as well. John is here on the island, Patmos. And he heard behind him a great voice. That is verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. And his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame fire, and his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. This is the Son of Man. It was not the Lord walking on the earth. It's now the man in glory. He's still a man. But his appearance was that John fell down to his feet as dead. So we also have a healthy fear of Him. It is healthy and important that we fear Him as the head of the church and really respect Him, right? Don't dare to contradict, to resist Him, right? We have this clearly before our eyes. In Christianity today, with many Christians, it is like they have forgotten the side. He is a holy and righteous God. We should obey as well. That is one part. But the other part, He is the Son of Man. When John fell down to his feet, what did he do? He put his right hand upon me. He laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am He who lives." So He's for you. He's never against you. Even if one time you resist Him, He still is for you. Of course, He will know how to properly deal with you. And you should not, challenge His patience too much. Be rather submissive to Him. The church shall be submissive to Christ in all things. Not only in some things, but in everything. Completely, it is subject to Christ. He is the head. You know, if my members are not subject to my head, then I am sick. I'm ill. If my arm would move like this, it would be horrible. So the church fully subject to Christ as the head. That is glory. And the Lord as the head is for you and loves you. He died for you. You are so precious to Him. If we fear Him, it's not a strange fear. Maybe fear is the wrong word, but the Bible says so. Fear God. It's a deep respect. Right? To honor Him, to love Him, to fully submit to Him. He is the head of the body. And as such a one, in the chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation, He speaks to the churches. And that is a speaking full of love. But also with exhortation. He does not keep quiet. He says, okay, this and that is good what you did, but I have against you. And that is the speaking we need. The Lord wants to present His church pleasing Him. The Father's good pleasure is on Him, but it shall also rest upon the church. That's why you need His exhortation, His judging, His dealing, and His love, of course. But also His judging, His dealing. It's good to listen to Him. Right? Lord Jesus. So the last point now, Colossians. He is the head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that He in all things may be the first or have preeminence. Now, 19. For it pleased, literally, all the fullness to dwell in Him. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily. Right?
Auch im Buch, da wo das sehr schön auch zeigt,
We have a book saying Christ, the reality of all spiritual things, the watchman Nee. I advise you to read this. After this conference, I did not make it completely before the conference, but so precious. It is on the book table. It is so precious. First of all, we need the Bible, yes. But in order to understand the Bible, to penetrate this wonderful word, generations before us worked on it, labored, and read, discovered things, have written them down. And if you think you can simply jump into it and understand everything, this is presumptive. You need the help of others to understand it. We have the saints in the church, yeah. But there are also others, brothers, that lived before us that are able to help you. So also read these books. They should never lead away from the Bible, never replace the Bible, but lead to the Bible. If it's a good book, of course. There are books you better do not read. They lead away from the Lord. But there are good books. At the book table, published by the printing office, it's good to enter into the Word. Otherwise, you only understand a little bit. Then you can understand more, and the Lord may grant more light. Christ is the reality of all spiritual things. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. In the Gospel of John, there are these words, the verses where the Lord says, I am, I am. You can enjoy this, to see what Jesus is. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the reality, and the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. All this is the Lord. The fullness dwells in him. If you have a need of anything, come to the Lord. There is a fullness. He is the I am. No matter what your lack is, what your need is, some seek here some comfort, some seek there a little help. This may help you, and a certain man is good to help you. Well, the Lord is the one who is the I am. The Lord Jesus is the I am. In him is the fullness of God. The wonderful thing is, I'm the vine. It says second sentence. I am the vine and you are the branches. You are the branches. Hallelujah. Right? So we stick to him. What does a branch do? It hinges on the vine. So what does this branch receive? The sap of the vine. Right? The life supply. So all he is, what he's describing here, the light of the world, then you also have light. The door, then the Lord Jesus will be your door. He is your bread. He is the resurrection. He is the life. You may not have a way, but the Lord has a way for you. You are a branch on him. He is the vine, you are the branch. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. You have been brought to his fullness in him. Hallelujah. To be complete, three more aspects. Maybe you will find more. They are in Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the living one. And I am the root and the descendants of David. Again, root and descendant. Who can be this? Only the Lord. And even the bright morning star. All this is the Lord. We praise you, Lord. Jesus Christ, Lord, we praise you for a wonderful person. excuse me. Thank you. Appear to us more, Lord, to see you clearly. Lord, appear to all of us.